What is salvation?
No, this place isn't salvation. Being saved from sin?
Freedom?
Freedom in Christ? That's a bit of it. Sort of put you on the spot, hasn't it? Salvation. Saved from death. Ah, yes, but not physical death. Saved from death. Eternal life, well, yes.
Redemption?
Yes. Okay, what is it to be redeemed?
Brought back,
yep. Okay, I'll touch on something that I touched on last week. The relation of the Holy Spirit to mankind. And I'll go a little bit further back than I did last week. When God created man, it was God with man and man with God. Adam in the Garden of Eden. Then sin came in. Following that, there was a separation. And God came upon man at various times in the Old Testament. Right up until the time of the prophets. And further. But the prophet Isaiah made one really startling prophecy. He said the Messiah would come and one of his names would be Emmanuel. That's very, very important. Because that signified a change in the relationship between God and man. Does anyone know what Emmanuel means? God with us. And when Christ came, it was no longer the Spirit of God coming upon people, but it was God with us, Emmanuel, Christ with mankind. But then he was crucified and buried and raised again and ascended into heaven. But he said, I will not leave you orphans. Okay, he was leaving, so it was no longer Christ with us. But he sent the Holy Spirit. And then it was God in us. For the Holy Spirit came to dwell within. The Spirit of God, the very life force of God, dwelling within us. And our hope is the future of not just God in us, but man with God in eternity. See, so it starts off man with God. The fall, God coming upon man, God with us, God in us, man with God. And God had that mapped out all the way through. Now salvation is moving to the point where we can have man with God. God in us, and then man with God, and God with us again. And in relationship. So, that's probably clear as mud, is it? Or have you got some sort of understanding of that now? You do? Good. Now, salvation is the way that God made for us to be able to move forward. The Bible says all men have sinned, that includes women, and fallen short of God's standard, or fallen short of the glory of God. Now, the word that is sin comes from archery. It's a word hamartia. And it literally means an archer taking aim at a target, firing an arrow and missing. So sin is missing the target. And I think we've all done that, haven't we? I know I have. I can say with Paul, as he said in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then he goes over into chapter 8. Thanks be to God. For the life-giving principles of the Spirit have freed us from the control of the principles of sin and death. God in us. And Jesus made the way for us to come back to God. He became God with us to bring us into a relationship. Now, we still sin. But God's word says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wrongdoing. And God also says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more forever. You're going along in life and you realize you've sinned. Ooh. You confess it to God. You know, it's no use coming back to God 5 minutes later and saying, you know that sin I committed and confessed to you? He says, no. Because he says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more forever. The devil comes at you and says, ah, I caught you in sin. You've fallen short. You've missed the target. You say, hang on, Satan. Father God, I just confess that sin to you. I realize I have fallen short. And I thank you for your forgiveness. Now, Satan, and he's gone. Because he's got nothing to accuse you of. You've cut the ground out from under him by keeping a short account with God. That's salvation. And that is working out your own salvation. Living it out in your daily life. Jesus paid the penalty. Because God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. And Jesus shed his blood. He paid the penalty that was ours. Understanding? He paid the penalty that was ours. So we are forgiven. And that forgiveness is ongoing. As long as we keep our short account with God. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Didn't say we can't leave him and forsake him though. And that's a dangerous path to take. Because that is turning your back and walking away from God and turning your back on him and really treading the precious work that he has accomplished through Jesus, just treading on that underground. Just walking all over it. And really crucifying Christ again. That's what that is. We're getting into an area there where there's a lot more teaching. Now, What is being saved?
But what is life?
Yeah, but what part of us is being saved? The soul. You know what the soul is? That's the eternal part of us. That's our mind, will, and emotion. God said when he created Adam, dust you are, and to dust you'll return. This body, it's going to decay. It might be plonked in the ground. It might be cremated. It might be blown apart by a bomb. I don't know. I don't care. But the very essence that is me, the very essence that is you, your mind, your will, and your emotion, which isn't in your brain. And there's a doctor in America, Dr. Eben Alexander, who is a neurosurgeon of more than 15 years' experience. He proved in his own life that the soul invades every part of the body. It's not the body, but it's the life force within the body, and the spirit is what zips the body and the soul together. The Spirit of God, the breath. Because when Adam was created, God breathed into him and man became a living soul. Now it's the soul that's saved. When you die, your soul lives on. And it's the soul that spends eternity with God or in the fires of damnation. It's the soul, it's not the body. It's the mind, the will, and the emotions. I've often described hell as a place where all your worst fears come true, continually. The very worst that you could imagine, being separated from God. Separated from light, from love. Continually, eternally. But Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And he is the one who made the way for us to come into relationship with God and have that relationship restored so that our souls may be saved. Understand what I'm saying? There's not a lot of teaching on this. I think I'll leave it there for this morning. I will just add, no, I'll add one other thing. Jesus' resurrection. The importance of his resurrection. He proved that the body that was raised in the resurrection is not the body that was put in the grave. He gave in a parable, he said, unless a grain of wheat die and is buried, it abides alone. He also said, what is sown, and this was Paul actually, what was sown in corruption will be raised in incorruptibility. Now when Jesus was raised from the dead, he walked with some disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize him. His body was different. It was an eternal body. It was a new creation, a new body. Their eyes were opened during the breaking of bread. And they said, did not our spirits burn within us while he was talking with us? They had a link. They knew something, but they didn't recognize his body. And Jesus proved to us that way, that what is raised will be different to what is sown. Now, we've got a body that's basically made up of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen and sulfur and a few other trace elements. What will be raised? I don't know. You can't destroy this body, because God, when he created this universe, created it such that matter can neither be destroyed or created. And it goes back to its particles, or can be transformed into energy. But energy can also be transformed into matter. But it's, you know, God keeps the balance there. But I'd like you to really think about what's been said this morning. And if this today is a time when you need to reevaluate who you are, what you are, and what your relationship is with God. As we sing this last hymn, I Surrender All, I'd ask you to just come and join me at the mercy seat. Because I'll be there. Because I need to continually reevaluate my relationship with God.